Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Two more groups are planning to sue the state today over the budget. A coalition of disability rights activists say they'll go to court to block roughly $100 million in cuts to services. And school officials from districts across the state claim the governor and state lawmakers illegally cheated them out of $2 billion with a B dollars. The California Report's education reporter Anna Tentakulis has more.
The lawsuit argues Governor Jerry Brown broke the law by using a protected pot of school money known as Proposition 98 to balance this year's budget. UCLA education professor John Rogers says Prop 98 allocates money based on a complicated formula.
People have quipped before that only about 10 people in the entire state fully understand how Proposition 98 works. Because it's not transparent, there often are battles.
The California Teachers Association filed a similar suit under Governor Schwarzenegger, but didn't join this one. Insiders say the teachers struck a deal with Governor Brown, agreeing not to sue over Prop 98 in exchange for being protected from layoffs. UC Berkeley education professor Bruce Fuller.
The CTA did pretty well in the last round of budget negotiations, so it's a pretty down and dirty fight in a sense.
Associations for the state's school administrators and school boards plan to file suit today in Sacramento. For the California Report, I'm Anna Tentakulis.
It took a voting rights lawsuit to bring a non-white supervisor to Los Angeles County about 20 years ago. L.A. County is now nearly half Latino, but you wouldn't know it looking at the board. More than 1,000 people turned out to the board meeting yesterday to urge five of the most powerful politicians in Southern California to redraw their districts. Frank Stoltz reports.
The board heard 6 hours of often emotional testimony. Rosalio Munoz is with the Chicano Movimiento Resource Center.
Estoy aquí para declarar que el racismo aquí está bien claro, que no están
listos. I'm here
listos
to declare that there's racism here at the board.
Porque no están listos para escuchar la voz hispana.
Because you're not ready to
audiencia
hear the Latino voice.
Racial tension infused much of the hearing. Toby Keeler is a longtime resident of Calabasas in the San Fernando Valley.
What bothers me the most are what come off as race-baiting undertones being used by some to somehow justify the worst example of gerrymandering I've ever seen in my years as an average, concerned, middle-class American voter.
To achieve a second Latino-majority district, the L.A. County Board of Supervisors would have had to shift more than 3.5 million people into new districts. Latino civil rights activists argued the Federal Voting Rights Act required the move for two reasons. First, one-third of the county's eligible voters are Latino. Second, people tend to vote for candidates of their own race. That makes it hard for Latinos to get elected in districts where they're not the majority of voters. University of Washington political science professor Matt Barreto studies voting patterns in L.A.
In virtually no instance in Los Angeles County do non-Latinos provide over 50% support for a Latino candidate or issue. This establishes a very clear pattern of racially polarized voting in Los Angeles.
The county's legal counsel disagreed about the extent of polarized voting. So did the three white male supervisors. They pointed to the fact that L.A. has a Latino mayor and sheriff. Supervisor Don Canabi, whose district would have been nearly obliterated under one plan, also took offense to the premise of the plan.
The bare suggestion that I can only provide an outstanding level of service for the people who look like me is frankly insulting.
Several Latino and Asian American speakers praised Canabi's work and opposed slicing up his district. Creating another Latino majority district required 4 votes on the 5-member board. Only 2 supported the idea, the 1 African American and the 1 Latina, Supervisor Gloria Molina.
Sadly, the fragmentation of the Latino community proposed by the board is reminiscent of the strategy used by this board from the 1950s to the 1990s to dilute Latino empowerment.
In 1990, Latino civil rights activists won a federal court order forcing Los Angeles County to create its first Latino majority supervisors district. The Mexican American Legal Defense and Educational Fund has indicated it plans to sue the county again. For the California Report, I'm Frank Stoltz in Los Angeles.
An Oakland-based group plans to file suit today against dozens of food retailers and manufacturers, accusing them of selling lead-tainted products to children. The California Report's health reporter Sarah Varney has more.
The Environmental Law Foundation purchased dozens of brands of bottled juice, juice boxes, packaged fruit, and baby food, and sent them off to a lab. The lab found that many individual servings contained lead above what's allowed under California law without a warning label. Jim Wheaton, president of ELF, says the test results show dozens of well-known companies are violating the state's Prop 65 rules.
Under California law, when you have anyone being exposed to lead, they have to give a warning to the consumer so the consumer can make an informed choice.
Lead has long been known to cause developmental problems, and scientists generally agree that there is no safe level of exposure for children. Wheaton says even though the level of lead in each individual serving may be small, kids often eat several helpings throughout the day.
So, for instance, we picture a child's lunchbox, which might have a grape juice in it, a juice box, might have some fruit cocktail, might have some packaged pears, might have a number of sources, and they begin to add up, and that can be harmful, especially to growing brains.
A spokesperson for Attorney General Kamala Harris confirmed that her office is investigating ELF's findings, but didn't have any further comment. For the California Report, I'm Sarah Varney.
Supervisors in cash-strapped Fresno County have voted against a program that would have allowed them to increase taxes on farmland. The California Report's Central Valley Bureau Chief Sasha Coca explains.
Over half the state's farm and ranch land is protected by the Williamson Act. It gives California farmers a tax break in exchange for agreeing not to develop their land. For decades, the state paid counties back the difference, but the new state budget eliminated that funding, leaving counties in the hole. In July, Governor Brown signed a bill authorizing a workaround for counties, giving them the power to collect more taxes on farmland. Many rural counties have adopted the plan, but here in Fresno, the nation's most productive farm county, supervisors like Debbie Pachigian voted Tuesday against taxing farmers more.
It does trickle down. I mean, you buy less fuel, the fuel company has trouble. You buy less tractors or less equipment, the equipment company has trouble. You know, you have more unemployment, and it just doesn't seem like now's the time to do this.
Farmers are already furious that Fresno's new tax collector recently began reassessing their land's value to charge higher taxes. Not adopting the new plan will mean a loss of more than $2 million for Fresno County. For the California Report, I'm Sasha Coca in Fresno.
That's the California Report for Wednesday, September 28th, the production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the SunPower Corporation, offering high-efficiency solar energy solutions to households and businesses in California and worldwide. The world standard for solar. SunPowerSolar.com. The Mary Van Voorhees Fund and the Fallas Family Fund for coverage of climate change. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as balancing network traffic for improved performance. Barracuda.com.